Welcome to the Friday, September 20th, 2013, Drupalize Me podcast. Drupalize Me. Hey there, folks. This is Addison Berry. I am your hostess for this Drupalize Me podcast. And today I have with me controversial figures in the community. I have Nate Haug and Jen Lampton. And the reason I have these fine folks on is because they have done something that is shocking in the Drupal world, and I want to talk about it. And we have a whole bunch of questions from people in the community as well that we're going to work our way through. What have they done? They have forked Drupal and created a new CMS based on a forked version of Drupal. We're going to talk more about what that means and what's going on. We're going to get into all the details about that in a minute because I got to do the news first. All right. So just bear with the news, then we can get to the juicy bits. For news and announcements, as normal, I should announce that you should also check out the other podcasts that we have on lullabot.com. There's the Creative Process podcast with Jared Ponchot, and we have Insert Content Here on Content Strategy with Jeff Eaton. And I should also mention that we are hiring. Lullabot is generally hiring. We're looking for a brand manager right now, but also Drupalize Me is looking for trainers. So if you love learning Drupal and sharing that with other people, you should apply because I would love to talk with you. Let's see, in regular stuff going on, we just launched a new series on Migrate module. So if you're trying to figure out how to import things into your Drupal site, Joe Schindler has a whole series on using the Migrate module, and that just kicked off this week. The first two videos are free, so you get kind of an overview and terminology and kind of what's going on in that space. And then in Drupal community news, the community board elections are open, and they close today, Friday, September 20th, at midnight somewhere. On the page, it just says midnight, but it doesn't state the time zone. So take that for what you will. But go and elect. These are the open. There are two open positions on the board that are community elected to represent the community's voice. So this is your opportunity to make sure that you have your voice on the Drupal Association board. So go vote. We'll put a link in the notes. Get on it immediately because I don't know when midnight is for you. And then events that are coming up, well, you know what? Next week is DrupalCon Prague. We already have people from our team headed out there, and the entire Drupalize Me team is going to be there. We're a sponsor, so we have a booth, so the whole team will be hanging out. You can meet our new designer that we just hired, Justin. We also have a workshop on Monday, which is Mastering Git for the Drupal Developers Workflow. You can sign up for that all the way up to, I think you can sign up on Monday. I think we still have some room. And then we're also doing the free community tools workshop that we do at Sprints for the Getting Involved with Core sprint that's happening all day on Friday, next Friday. And so we're doing the community tools workshop in the morning, which helps you get up to speed. So if you've never contributed, you don't know what's going on, you don't understand the issue queue or what this IRC thing is or whatever, we walk through all of that stuff and get you all set up so that you can then contribute for the rest of the day. And then in other events that are upcoming, not that far away, is BadCamp, which is happening in October, October 24th through 27th in Berkeley, California. Really fun event. Not everybody on the Drupalize Me team will be there, but we would definitely have some people there, and we're doing a free workshop on what's new in Drupal 8. So you can go check that out. We'll put a link to their stuff in our notes as well. That's the news and events. Now on to the juicy bits. So Backdrop is a new CMS in the space out there. And it is a fork of Drupal. So the first question for most people out there, well, aside from what is a fork is when you have open source code, everybody has access to it. And if you want to take a copy of that code and make sort of your own modifications and create a new fork in the path, as it were, and sort of not follow along with the main original version, you're welcome to do that. And so Backdrop is a forked version of Drupal that is going to follow a different path than Drupal 8. So, of course, the big question is, why would you fork Drupal to make a new CMS, and why not just work on Drupal 8 to make it be what you want it to be instead?
All right. That's a big question.
It is.
Yeah. So I'll start with the first part, like why fork Drupal to begin with? And to start with, I think that we have simply acknowledged that Drupal is kind of headed off in a direction that requires a significant amount of technical knowledge to get started, like even more than it has in the past. And Drupal 8, early on in its development cycle, decided to make a very conscious decision to try to appeal to a quote higher tier developer, and that's the terminology that they've been using, and I'm trying to just be consistent with that. So this higher tier developer, I feel like they've actually been doing a really excellent job of appealing to that segment of the market, basically, where they're trying to make it so that more people can get involved using a lot of other pre-existing technology that already exists out there. And probably the biggest part of this, of course, is Symfony, that Symfony has been incorporated into Drupal. But it's not actually Symfony itself that's the biggest change in Drupal 8. It's the patterns that Symfony has brought to the table. Drupal 8 has basically adopted across the board. That's great in terms of like getting Symfony developers or people that are interested in Symfony's practices into Drupal 8. I think Drupal 8 has actually done a really good job of accomplishing that goal of appealing to this higher tier developer. But at the same time, what we think has happened is that a really large segment of Drupal's existing developer base and actually new developers also, like the appeal to a developer who hasn't done web development in the past, that segment of the market is being left behind at the same time. And so our fork is basically acknowledging that Drupal 8 is going off in a one direction and that we will be heading into a different one. So basically the entire concept of why you would want a fork, that Drupal 8 has reached a point where it's appealing to one segment of the market and that we need an alternative to appeal to another one. That's the basic idea.
And part of that comes from the fact that when they first made this decision, we did not know where the road would lead, right? We're like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. And we didn't know that anyone was going to be left behind. But the longer we go down this road, the more complicated things seem to be getting, the more abstract things seem to be getting, and the more people are really, the less competent people, at least in working in these practices, are getting really worried about Drupal 8. And we started to notice that there are people already leaving and people planning on leaving. And we don't want to see that happen. We don't want to see people move away from the software because they're afraid of what it will be in the future. So we're going to try and catch those people and give them a product that, you know, they already know how to use and they love.
Related to, so you have this like these ideas, and I've heard this question come up a number of times around this, which is basically like, why are you forking and not working on Drupal 8 to make this better? But it sounds to me that it's not that it's like there's a feature that you want or don't want, but that there's a fundamental philosophical goal difference that would make like the basically Drupal 8's not going to do or target those things, and they're doing a great job at targeting, you know, what we are targeting with Drupal 8, you know, and it's done a lot of things, but you guys just fundamentally don't want to go in that direction overall. So there's no way to actually make them meet in the middle somehow. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's spot on. And there's a lot of things that Drupal 8 can improve upon. And really recently, like in the past week, Dries made a very public announcement that that the developer experience of Drupal 8 is now basically the number one priority, and that Drupal 8 isn't going to be released until that is resolved. But the thing is that as far as like fixing the developer experience, or quote fixing, sorry, I'm not saying that it actually is broken or that it can be fixed, because it's a decision of the approach that has been used to build the entire system. Like Backdrop's divergence starts with basically looking at Symfony and deciding that's not where we want to go. And that's a difference that Drupal 8 will never decide to go down that same route. Like right. Symfony is now very, very integral. And Symfony's ideas, that everything is now object-oriented, or they're heading really strongly towards object-oriented stuff, to the point that basically like any procedural function is kind of, you know, on a hit list that one at a time, every procedural function within Drupal is getting knocked off and moved into a service or a plugin of some kind. And that's fine, and it enables some abilities in Drupal 8, such as, I'm sure everyone will tell you, one of the greatest things about Drupal 8's object-oriented approach is that it allows unit testing of individual pieces of Drupal without loading the entire system. And philosophically, that's just the direction that they're heading, and they will continue to head down that direction. And at the same time, what has happened is they rewrote everything. And in their rewriting of everything, they realized that some things weren't intuitive as they'd hoped for. So what they're trying to do now is resolve the DX issues that can be resolved while within that paradigm. Some things like shortening the namespaces. Right now, everything is nested inside a ton of Drupal directories because we're using a PSR0 auto-loading standard. And they're planning on shifting that to, as of yet, not approved, but soon to be approved, PSR4 auto-loading standard that will remove, I think it was by my counts, around 400 extra nested directories that contain nothing but another directory. You know, that's a big improvement.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, there's still going to be an enormous number of directories and an enormous number of classes, because that's what the overall structure of the entire program is. And so that's not going to change, and it's not something that can be fixed, because it's not really broken. It's just the way it's designed.
Just the way it is. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Like it's just a goal and a concept, a way of approaching it. I mean, oversimplifying and not necessarily saying this is the simplification, but you know, for me, looking at something like, you know, you could do something in an object oriented way or in a procedural way. It's just a different approach. They'll both get the job done in the end, and they have other ramifications around them. But at the end of the day, you just have to choose which approach are you going to use when you're actually implementing it.
Mm-hmm. So we're also looking at this from the perspective of, you know, what does the Drupal community want? And have people been clamoring for unit tests? Is the majority of the Drupal community saying, wow, I really like Drupal 7, but I wish it had unit tests? And the answer to that question for us is no. So we don't feel like that's a huge priority. Is there a huge amount of people who are Symfony developers who are saying, wow, I wish I had Drupal, but I don't want to use it because the code's too messy? I don't know. So we're trying to kind of meet the needs of our existing community more than the other communities that aren't yet using Drupal.
Right on. So obviously the two of you are working on this. Is anybody else working on this, or is this, you know, a Nate and Jen production right now?
Well, it's obviously open source. It has to, by definition, pretty much be under the same license as Drupal itself. So it's GPL version 2 or higher software, meaning that it's out there for release, and anybody or distribution, and anybody that wants to can obviously participate on it. Our development, what we're doing, because this is like a different project, we didn't want to, you know, impede on Drupal.org with basically a competing product on the same infrastructure. So we basically are starting from the ground up, that we need to be working on an entirely new infrastructure. And for now, we don't have very much, honestly. We're starting our development on GitHub because it's the easiest way forward, and it's probably what most people would prefer to be working on anyway. But in that short time since we made the announcement a couple of weeks ago, we've gotten 230 stars in the repository and already 50 forks of the project on GitHub. And of course, on GitHub, a fork is not at all a bad thing. It's just the way that you work. You know, you make your own fork, you make changes to it, and then you submit a pull request back to the original repository saying, please incorporate my changes from my fork into the project. Mm-hmm. So already we've gotten at least 50 people that have taken the step of starting to do development on it for one reason or another. We've already gotten close to 70 pull requests of various features that are being implemented. So a pull request you could think of as the equivalent of a patch. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that are working on it are the same like usual suspects as Drupal itself. So we've got a lot of regular core developers participating. And we've got some people that I've personally never worked with, which is, of course, fantastic. I love that it already feels like we're accomplishing what we set out to do, and that we want to attract new people, basically. We want to say, you know, we're starting at a level that you can understand, and that if you want to participate, you know, the barrier to entry is extremely low. And in a lot of ways, doing development on GitHub actually is a lower barrier than Drupal.org itself is, when there are so many people that already have accounts and have been doing development on GitHub for a long time. We're hoping that our development there will make it so that the barrier to entry is extremely low to get started on the project.
So I just also want to back up a little bit just in terms of talking about like the code base. So you have the code in GitHub and you're already working on it. Mm-hmm. Where is it forked? Like, did you just take the latest Drupal 8 development version and fork there and go backwards? Or did you guys fork from like a later period in history or earlier period in history in Drupal?
Yeah, the very first issue in the entire GitHub queue is, where should we fork? as you might guess, because we need somewhere to start.
Yeah.
And the decision was that we looked at as far as Drupal 8 could go before conversion started happening en masse to the new paradigm. There was probably a good year and a half of Drupal 8 development. Not a whole lot was going on, actually, for the first year. But some things were happening, including development on like CMI. Greg Dunlap was working on that really early in the Drupal 8 cycle. So some things like that had already begun. But where we decided to fork was, if you want an actual date, was February 2012, right at the end of February and beginning of March. And we chose that point in time because it was basically right before we started converting things to use PSR0 namespacing all over the place. So that was sort of mm-hmm. the first large set of conversions. There actually were a couple conversions already in there. Symfony itself had already been committed. Symfony sat in the Drupal core repository for 3 or 4 months without actually being used. Mm-hmm. And some things like the cache conversion were really early and then followed by CMI's conversion. And so we basically chose that point, and then we actually had to roll back a few things. Like we had to roll back Symfony itself, like the HTTP kernel being included. We had to take a couple things out. But that's in general the point in time mm-hmm. from which we're starting.
All right. Cool. Well, and I have my questions, but we also have a lot of questions from people. So I want to kind of move through my questions and get them out of the way, but I still want to say my questions. Darn it, people. It's my podcast. I can ask my questions. One other question, because originally I wasn't even aware of this, but you have like an Indiegogo funding drive thingamajiggy out, and what is the funding for, if this is like, you know, an open source project, man, like why is there an Indiegogo funding drive?
So traditionally the way Drupal itself has been funded is it's been funded by client work and various organizations who are actually building sites with Drupal. And at the same time, what happens is their developers quite regularly, while working, they're like, oh man, this change that you need for this project could also be beneficial to a lot of other people. And so I'm going to go and contribute that into Drupal. And it's small little trickles like that that eventually move the entire project forward. Right now, we're in a position where we don't have any clients whatsoever. Like, nobody is building a site on Backdrop, and you can't really build a site on Backdrop, you know, for at least probably the next 9 months until this thing gets off the ground. So we're in a position right now where there is a lot of potential for it to be an amazing piece of software, but there's no practical application for it right now. And so there's literally no funding whatsoever coming into this project from anywhere. And right now, what we're doing is, you know, we're cutting, like, Jen and myself and probably other people that are working on Backdrop are basically working on it towards the potential of it actually becoming something that they can use. But in the meantime, we're basically not getting any income whatsoever. And there's also some other things that need to be just built up, because we don't have anything. We don't have any infrastructure. We don't have any servers. We don't have a website. We don't really have any marketing materials, and we don't really even have like a logo, for example. Like, we're really short on just about everything.
We're just really new.
Right. And so what the Indiegogo campaign is for is it's entirely to get the project off the ground. Like, there's a lot of people that are interested in seeing where this thing goes. And a lot of people who have existing Drupal infrastructures who could enormously benefit from an alternative, basically. We'll get, hopefully, to our goals and things like that. But Backdrop really aims to slow down the constant API changing. And we're starting that right away with the initial release. Our primary goal out of everything is to make it so that it's an easy transition for people that are on Drupal 6 and Drupal 7 websites. That includes like an upgrade path and migration, as well as like making it so that existing custom and contributed modules that have been written are able to be easily reused on Backdrop. Easily ported. Basically, a less drastic shift. Because we're maintaining a lot of the existing architecture in traditional Drupal rather than rewriting it from the ground up, which is basically what Drupal 8 has done. That Drupal 8 is largely a rewrite of a system that happens to have all of the same features. So If you look at Drupal 8 and Drupal 7, they've got a lot of the same terminology. They've got nodes and they've got blocks and views and things like that. But under the hood, the entire system, almost the entire system, more than 3/4 of it, has been rewritten in some way. Whether that's just like copying stuff from procedural functions and then moving them into objects and then indenting a whole bunch of times. That's a lot of the conversion, but a lot of it is much more fundamentally shifted.
So, and then I'll ask, you know, this is the main thing here too, like main question, you know, is like, what isn't this bad for Drupal 8 and the Drupal community to split people's time and resources and focus and things like that, rather than just continuing, just soldiering on, you know, and making Drupal 8 as awesome as it can be? You're sort of, you're diffusing the resources.
So that's actually a really good question. And part of it is that Drupal 8 is taking a really big gamble on the future of Drupal and the future of the Drupal community. And if that gamble is wrong, then that's really bad for the community as well. Because half the community, I don't know how much, some portion of the community will leave because they don't like Drupal 8. And maybe we won't get all of those people from the outside world who we're targeting. Maybe they'll just say, you know, I know how to do this myself. Why would I use a system that does it? And that could be really bad for the community too. So what we're trying to do is create a place where all of those people who are worried can stay a part of this community. And can continue to benefit from software that's Drupal-like, even though it won't be Drupal anymore, and all of their existing knowledge will continue to be relevant. So I think that what we're doing is actually really good for the community, even if you just think of it as kind of a safety net for what happens if Drupal 8 doesn't pan out.
Do you think of this as... Because I think, I mean, you know, for, you know, my first impression, and I think a lot of people's is like, this is, it's completely splitting the community. So it's not going to be, I don't know, like, it's not one community, right? Like there's going to be a Drupal 8 community and there's going to be a Backdrop community.
That's already happened. There's a Drupal 7 community and there's going to be a Drupal 8 community. And there's not going to be as much overlap, I think, as a lot of the current core team thinks there is. So what happens to the Drupal 7 community if they don't feel confident moving on to Drupal 8?
They wait for Drupal 9 and then scream?
Maybe. Or maybe they use Backdrop for a while and then scream. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I'll give my personal anecdote here, too, that I'm in a situation that I think a lot of people will be able to affiliate with, that they probably are stuck in the same position. Where I have a website that I run a business on, webform.com, which is basically the Webform module as a hosted service. So that project is super highly dependent upon the health of Drupal and the underlying architecture of Drupal, because it's very much intertwined. Like, it has the ability to like export your site, and then you can run it on your own server, which means that you need to be able to run Drupal on that server. And right now, it's built on Drupal 7, and I'm looking at Drupal 8, and from my perspective, as both the developer and the business owner, I'm looking at Drupal 8 and going, oh my gosh, I'm going to need to rewrite my entire website, not just upgrade it to the new versions of the modules, many of which I'll have to upgrade myself because I'm the maintainer for them anyway. Right? So I'm going to need to upgrade my Drupal 7 modules to Drupal 8 modules. The most enormous shift in Drupal's history, like this is like Drupal 4.7 to Drupal 7, like overnight. Like Drupal 6 to Drupal 7 is peanuts compared to this migration / architectural change that we'll need to do. So I need to rewrite or update my Drupal 7 contrib modules, as well as the dozen or so custom modules that I've written for my own website. And all of that is for a lateral move, that just moving to Drupal 8 makes it so that when users export their site, that they're still running like a modern version of a piece of software. I can't give people a Drupal 7 version of the software forever. But it's going to be an enormous investment for me to port all of those modules, as well as learn all of the changes in Drupal 8, which actually, I mean, I've already learned most of them, I like to think. But with change records still coming on an average of like 2 or 3 a day, your knowledge even now isn't the final version of what Drupal 8 will be. So I'm looking at all of this and I'm like, wow, this is an enormous investment for a lateral move, basically, that all that I'll end up with after all of this work is the same site I had before on a newer version of the software. And for me, the cost analysis is just not worth it. That even though this is an enormous undertaking, Backdrop itself, in many ways, this could actually end up being less effort. For maybe not for myself, but for overall, like all of the existing Drupal sites that are out there, this is undoubtedly going to save them an enormous amount of work because all of that existing investment, basically, we don't want to wipe that all out. We want that knowledge to be transferable, and we want that code to be transferable. And right now with Drupal 8, a lot of those things aren't.
Well, it does depend on the kind of site you have, though, because like you're saying, it's a lot of work for you to update all those modules, Drupal 8 and stuff, because you're the maintainer. But the thing is once you've done that, anybody else who's using those modules doesn't have to do that work, right? So if I'm just a site builder who actually doesn't even dabble in code, as the community upgrades things to 8 for me, then that transition to Drupal 8 wouldn't be the same monumental thing. If I don't, but if I like have my own custom modules and stuff like that, then we're talking about actually getting into, you know, this choice of do I understand this versus that. But
the time scale is the same, though, because even if you're a site builder, you have to wait for someone else to make the conversion for the modules that you need. And we know with Drupal 6, it was slow. With Drupal 7, it was slow. I still upgrade modules like every other website I build. I have to port a module from 6 to 7. What's that going to look like when the entire Drupal community has to learn a new system in order to port their contrib modules to Drupal 8? For a site builder, you're going to be waiting a long time before you can get that upgrade done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're talking in the short term right now, like, you know, we're talking about upgrading Drupal 7 sites. But Backdrop has a bigger vision, too, for future versions of Backdrop, that it will essentially slow down the pace. Like, Drupal is kind of addicted to API changes. I think it's been said many times that the Drupal community, in many ways, is a pattern-applying machine. That given some pattern, it will be implemented into the next version of Drupal because it's the pattern, right? And it's really incredible and amazing the kinds of patterns that we can apply. Like if, when we find a different pattern that we like more, well, put the Drupal core community on it, and then that pattern is applied. But that's been really detrimental to not just this upgrade, but every past upgrade of Drupal, ever since I'd say, like, you know, there were a couple easy transitions. 4.7 to 5, for example, was a very easy gradual transition. We're hoping that with Backdrop, all future revisions of the software will be less traumatic, that we won't be changing these APIs every, like, enormously rewriting every API in between these 3-year release cycles. So we're hoping for a much slower shift in architecture, and some of the things that we have, we'll just need to basically work with them. I mean, iterate on them probably, but not rewrite them. And that's,
that also lets us focus on the things that are more important to the people who own Drupal sites, not necessarily your core developer community, but the people who are running these sites can get features faster, because instead of rewriting APIs, we're delivering new functionality and new features. So even though the core APIs are moving slower, the progress of the software overall can go much faster, because we're just adding stuff, changing stuff, improving stuff, building new interfaces, whatever it is we need, without needing to learn new APIs underneath all of that.
So pretty much you're looking to, I mean, in a sense, hold on to, like, basically not be as, like, cutting edge in terms of the overall technology, and not as forward moving in terms of what the APIs are doing underneath, and just in terms of just code and APIs, and having, you know, this approach or this new method and this best practice in per se, versus having just a stable code base that works, even if it's a little bit older, and that you can build on top of more quickly. Is that
right? We're focused more on the finished product, right? Like, what does it look like to use it to, you know, can we get the features people want, regardless of what the API is underneath? Because at the end of the day, it's the product that's going to sell the platform, not the framework the code is using.
Yeah, there was a tweet sometime last month that Dave Reed retweeted, and so it showed up in my feed. That came from Gerald Unruh, who is one of the authors of PyroCMS, which is sort of an up-and-coming project. And his tweet consisted of, learning new tech. 1, this is so awesome. It's magic. 2, this is terrible. Nothing works. 3, I am so fast at this. 4, oops, this is obsolete. And I feel like that's what's happened with every Drupal cycle, actually, that the initial feeling is, wow, this stuff is so incredible and so magical. And then you get deep into the weeds, and then it's like, oh my God, I can't, this is so weird, and there's all these weird edge cases that are broken and things don't work. And then eventually you get over that and you're like, man, this is so great. I am so fast. And then the next version of Drupal comes out and it's like, oh God, I got to do it all over again. and that's a cycle that, that we're trying to break away from. And we think that the route that future versions of Drupal proper are heading down is basically committing to that, which I think is absolutely true. That even in Dries's most recent blog post, he said as much, that Drupal has always been committed to basically the latest and greatest. That it's like, mm-hmm. you use the tools that are available at the time. What that ends up doing, though, is all of the things I just listed, though. You end up frustrating your user base. You end up doing a lot of conversions instead of building new features. And that if you just stop and say, okay, it's okay that our architecture isn't perfect, but we can still deliver all of these amazing features. And that's one thing that I think that we will definitely be able to accomplish, is we want to deliver essentially the majority of all of the features that Drupal 8 delivers without the architectural shift. And the fact that we can do that speaks volumes, I think, that the architecture didn't actually need to shift. We could have built everything on the existing architecture and delivered all of the same features. It's just that, yeah, and we will. And that's what Backdrop is all about, is basically accepting that there will always be something newer and better and greater, but that conversion comes at a cost. And we're going to try to minimize that. We will still win the time. Well, like if we're overwhelmingly, behind the curve, say.
When you're completely archaic.
that we can't actually attract new people, then that's a real serious problem. But we don't think that that's where we're at right now. We think that we will actually be able to attract more new people because we're more at an introductory level of architecture that will be easy to learn and easy to pick up. And so we'll attract even more people. That's what we're trying to do.
All right. Cool. Well, I'm done with my questions, and this is going to be a long podcast, folks. So, let's work through the questions that we got off of Twitter and Facebook, and we can try and be relatively snappy about it. But I do want to get through, because people asked a lot of really good questions, and I think this is the big thing for me, is that it's sort of a shocking thing to happen. You know, as everybody's always joked about it and talked about it, fork Drupal, but you know, now someone's done it, and it's confusing and it's worrisome and it's mysterious and things like that. And so people have a lot of questions, and so I'm really glad that people ask these questions, and I'd like to put them out there because I think a lot of people want to know these things. So I'm just going to go through the questions that we got in basically random order. and I'll mention who posted it. Most of these are from Twitter. We do have, I think, one from Facebook on here. But okay, so first question is, I'd really like to know about their UX strategy to reach the site builder. And that's by Boyan on Twitter.
I think we kind of covered this a little bit, maybe not explicitly about the site builder. And I know Boyan is particularly very interested in user experience. But by focusing on things that are closer to the user, like the user interface and the features that we deliver both to the site builder and to like site users and the editorial team, by putting the focus there instead of rewriting the architecture, we hope that we'll be able to deliver a better experience, because that's where our focus will be. There's also some hope that with our different release cycle, which we haven't talked about too much, that we're going to be delivering regular feature releases as opposed to just massive changes every 3 years, like a more regular model of like every 3 or 4 months, introduce a minor version that includes some new functionality. And hopefully what that means is that we'll be able to continuously iterate on the small things. Like right now, every time that there's a small thing, it's kicked to contrib to handle that particular problem. And I think that we will be able to integrate a lot more of those like crucial pieces of functionality that right now don't make it into core because the problem is basically is outsourced because people want it right now. They do it in contrib.
Yeah.
And we're hoping that what will happen is people that want it right now will instead, I mean, the contrib repository can keep moving and it should. And I really hope that we get a thriving contributed community also, but it's just an alternative now. Instead of needing to do it in contrib first all of the time, that those contrib developers also become a part of the core development cycle and actually say, oh, I've got this great feature. And they can, and if they can get that in a short amount of time, then they'll be invested to actually make that improvement.
Right on. Cool. Okay, next question is, do you plan to release a commercial version? And this is by Nadir Palacios on Facebook.
So I guess the question is what is a commercial version? We're not going to be charging money for it. It'll still have the same license as Drupal did, so it'll be GPL licensed. We're hoping that a kind of a commercial ecosystem will grow up around it, exactly like has grown up around Drupal, where you can have private companies selling support and services around Backdrop, probably with the same developers that they were using to offer support and services for Drupal, because their skills are going to be directly relevant. But we aren't planning on selling Backdrop.
Yeah, I think we're going to borrow a lot of the same models from Drupal. That's commercially, it'll probably still be entirely supported by a broad ecosystem of developers and services. So basically the same as Drupal itself.
Cool. Okay, so here's the, do you have a roadmap? this question actually has a bunch of different questions in it. So, and there's another one that came in, any details on timeline. So we've had a couple of those. P.D. Johnson said, do you have a roadmap? What type of dev will it best suit? How do you differentiate against another CMS? And are you planning a camp? So let's just start with the any details on timelines and do you have a roadmap question?
So the broad strokes of it, we don't have a roadmap at this point, but we do have goals that we're aiming to accomplish. And the most straightforward and direct one is simply that all of the work that has been done in Drupal 8, we're going to do our best to be backporting that, basically taking that functionality, undoing the architectural changes, and then putting it into the first version of Backdrop. So that includes the WYSIWYG abilities, like the dialogue API, views, CMI, things that we think will absolutely be critical to the success, like why people would want to upgrade in the first place. So those are the sorts of things that we're working on. But there's no guarantee that we'll actually get all of those in the first version. I think what will probably end up happening is a lot of things will end up being in the first feature release or later. So right now we're focused more on getting our architecture to the point that it's that we can build stuff on top of it, which some of those things, like I said, we're trying to be slower about it, but some of them are absolutely a necessity. Most specifically CMI, mm-hmm. We have to have that as our architectural foundation before we can really move forward.
Yep. Fair enough. For sure. I think, everybody's waiting for CMI no matter where you are in the Drupal world.
Yeah.
What type of dev will it best suit? So I guess what kind of developer are you targeting, I guess is the question there.
So the easy answer to that question is all of them. But specifically the people we're most interested in are all of the current Drupal 7 developers or even Drupal 6 developers who kind of know and love that system already. Hopefully they love it. And we want to give them the same system, the same kind of system as they've been using for the last however many years. We also want to make it really appealing to new developers. So that means we're going to take the things that were really hard in Drupal 7 and try and move those backwards. So rather than replacing everything with a new system, which though might actually be, you know, better and according to best practices like Drupal 8, we have something that works. You know, Drupal 7 is really successful. So let's take that model and make it less confusing, make it make more sense. And so we're going to take the hardest parts about Drupal 7 and try and improve those. So hopefully that'll make it more appealing to new developers, to people who maybe haven't gotten into the code yet before but have clicked together a Drupal site and are curious about how it works, or people who are working at a job where until now all they've had to do is enter content, but now they want to know, like, how do I do more with my website? So a whole bunch of people who haven't gotten into development yet, those we want to attract them as well.
So, and a related question to that, and this is by Kay Caldwell on Twitter. At some point in the future, module developers will need to pick Backdrop CMS or Drupal. Doesn't that profoundly hurt both?
I don't think it does, because Backdrop basically is one more CMS in an enormously large space already. There are hundreds of CMFs or CMSs out there, even just in the PHP space. And Backdrop is simply another choice amongst hundreds. It happens to be all up in Drupal space because, well, it shares the same roots, basically. And it definitely, I mean, as we've been saying, our primary mission is, for the first release, is appealing to Drupal 7 and Drupal 6 developers who aren't wanting to move to the new architecture. So it definitely will present a lot of Drupal developers with a starker choice than other systems out there. But I don't think that it would hurt both, because what we're trying to do is prevent those Drupal developers who otherwise like would have left anyway, and it's already happening, people moving out of the Drupal sphere because of Drupal 8. What we're hoping to do is capture those people, like, to prevent them from leaving and going off into other communities, give them another community that they feel like there's a future for them in. So that's what we're hoping to do, is expand the overall community around Drupal and around Backdrop. I mean, it overall, we're hoping to grow our market space. But I mean, at the end of the day, you have to say that it is basically going to be two systems that just will have a lot of overlap.
Right. So, and then another part of that same tweet was another question is, how do you differentiate against other CMS? And then that's related to another question that came in from George Demet, which is, what is the compelling reason for customers to choose Backdrop over established platforms like WordPress, Joomla, EE, and Drupal? EE being Expression Engine.
Jen, you want to take that one?
Sure. So there are a couple of things that I think will be useful. I'm an independent contractor. I have a bunch of clients who don't have a lot of budget, right? Some of them are nonprofits, some of them are governments, some of them are educational institutions, some of them are just people who just want a website. And what I'm looking into the future at is, you know, moving them to Drupal 8 is going to be a very time consuming, and because Drupal developers are expensive, an expensive process. And not all of them can afford to make that transition. So if we can give them a comparable product that is faster to upgrade, takes less developer time, and is something that any current Drupal 7 developer can do, then you're looking at a much larger range of people who can do this service in a much shorter number of hours to get that service done. So from me trying to explain to them, like, okay, you know, I can upgrade your site to Drupal 8, it'll cost X, or, you know, we can upgrade the site to Backdrop and it'll cost Y. And if Y is less than X, then it's kind of a no-brainer for them. So I think budget will be a big differentiator. Timeline, if you need to have it up tomorrow, you know it's going to take a really long time to upgrade those modules. Even if you can afford it, maybe you can't spare the time to get it done. So if you can get a site done in a shorter amount of time, that will be good. Finding competent developers, it's really hard to find Drupal developers already. And if we are now looking at this huge change between Drupal 6 and Drupal 7, and you're looking at really great Drupal 7 developers leaving the community, they won't be there in Drupal 8 to take this work that we need people to do. So we're going to be kind of opening the world to keeping those developers around, making it easier to find them. And hopefully, you know, if I can't do a project and I need to hand it off to someone, I'm going to have someone hand it off to. And then over the long term, too, like if upgrading this backdrop system is going to be a lot less painful, quicker, easier to maintain, there's kind of a long tail of advantages there as well. So, I mean, we don't know what Drupal 8 is going to be like yet because it's not done yet. But from where a bunch of Drupal developers are sitting right now, it seems a little scary. Like we're not sure we can count on it being affordable or quick to implement, or that there will be enough developers there to take the work, or that it'll be easy to use. So those are the things we're going to focus on, making sure those things will happen for Backdrop.
And then I guess, well, and so this comment or question is related in that, I guess it rolls right off of that. It says, for nonprofits on tight budgets, D7 is already expensive. I worry D8 will be worse. Might Backdrop CMS help this? And I guess that the answer to that is yes, according to what you just said.
Yeah, that's the exact idea.
Yeah, and I'll elaborate too, and hopefully we can actually come through on this, but one of the things that we're trying to accomplish is performance through de-abstraction or performance through less complexity. And so we're trying hard to actively remove complex parts of Drupal 7 itself, because we think even Drupal 7 was too hard and too complicated. So we're trying to make it simpler than what it was previously. And one of the side effects of making things simpler and removing levels of abstraction is that you are removing some flexibility. So a lot of flexibility that is in place exists to do things like make it so that Drupal can run on MS SQL and IIS, and also like support Mongo and NoSQL-based systems. But if you look at the usage numbers of those projects, of MongoDB, of Oracle, or whatever, they make up less than 1% of the Drupal market. And we're hoping that by removing this abstraction, we will be giving a performance gain to the other 99% based on, you know, the common platforms that people are using. So I definitely think that this will help with the, you can't really say nonprofit is really the smaller tier, but I mean, for smaller sites with less infrastructure, we really hope that Backdrop will be more efficient because it has less abstraction.
Right. And then, kind of keeping on that theme, from the same person, Hannibal on Twitter, do you feel that D8 prioritizes enterprise development to the point where Backdrop's needed to fill a smaller niche?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same question, but right. Basically. That we feel like a larger segment of the market has been marginalized at the expense of abstraction and abilities to run on all kinds of edge case hardware and software, basically.
Okay, and then we have a couple of people who ended up asking the same kind of question. We have, Paul Rowell asked about contrib module issue, and Brian Lewis, Modules Unraveled, said, will current D7 or future D8 modules and themes work with Backdrop? So, like, what's up with the contrib space, basically?
Yeah, that's actually probably one of the points of most confusion around Backdrop, is that we've been saying so much that we're going to be keeping a lot of the same architecture, that there have been assumptions that, oh, well, that means that I can use a Drupal 7 module directly on Backdrop, or sometimes people even think that you could run like a Drupal 8 module on Backdrop. Neither of those things are true. Backdrop is going to be its own system, which means that modules will need to be ported to it. However, unlike Drupal 8, where the shift was really dramatic from Drupal 7, we're hoping that the shift will be really minor from Drupal 7. So instead of it being a rewrite of the module, where you're looking at like a small iteration, where the best example is probably CMI. CMI is Configuration Management Initiative, for people that aren't familiar with that term. And the basic premise of it is simply that instead of saving configuration into the database, which is really difficult to manage with version control, configuration is saved to flat files, which are much more easy to control, like Subversion or Git. And an example of like the kind of shifts that we're looking at for Backdrop means that previously when you were doing a MySQL query to insert stuff into a custom table to save configuration, you would be saving that into the config management system instead. So that kind of API change is pretty hard to avoid because you're no longer using the database for something and you're using this config management system instead. So an API change is necessary, but at the same time, it's not a real drastic shift. Like it wouldn't be a tremendous effort to actually replace a SQL query with using the config management saving routines.
Cool. All right. I don't think we're going to get through all of these questions. So I'm going to skip ahead a little bit on some of the questions. So if your question doesn't get asked, I'm sorry, but I only have so much time. Let's see. I'm going to just hop down here to the bottom. We have like some big questions down in the bottom. So this one is like, this was a series of tweets from Mark Drummond. So Backdrop rolls back 1.5 years of core commits, removing many, many patches representing improvements to a whole host of systems. All the community work on efforts on issues related to things totally unrelated to CMI and Symfony was tossed out. Work on mobile, work on accessibility, work on lots of little fixes are all gone. With a small core team, how do you fix that? Does Backdrop just toss away all of those improvements and the community that made them? It just seems like a lot of wasted work.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about it that we're way behind. I did it by commit numbers instead of by dates, so you can kind of get a better sense of how much change has happened by commits. And Backdrop is 1,500 commits behind Drupal 8, which is a huge number. We're hoping, I haven't done the math on this, that probably a third of those are probably conversions from one thing to another, you know, from whether or not that's like convert something from what was procedural to OO or convert what was a PHP template to Twig. There's a huge number of things that are nothing but conversions from one thing to the other. So the other 1,000 or so commits, though, are actually like, you know, functionality additions and changes. Some of those are great examples, like the responsive layouts and mobile initiative work, the WYSIWYG stuff, like all kinds of functionality is in those too, as well as hundreds of bug fixes. And what that means is that we're in a situation where we need to actually be going through those and reproducing those changes. And fortunately, it's not too difficult to do. At least it's pretty easy to start with because Drupal 8, where we forked, is actually still really similar to Backdrop. So probably for the next 6 months of development, we'll be able to merge in those changes with little or no work. But then after that, it starts becoming more difficult because the architecture had shifted so significantly. But we're still going to go through all of those commits, basically, and hope, I'm not sure if it'll actually be one at a time, and we'll check off each one as we go and say, yes, we need this, or no, we don't. But we're really hoping to avoid missing anything that Drupal 8 has incorporated. There's a full history of that, though, so we're planning on going through and pulling them all in.
That's quite the task.
Yep, it is an enormous task.
Yeah, that's a lot of work, yeah. Okay, and then this is the last big one that we had. So, well, the tweet itself is not large, but what it's referring to is an entire article that someone wrote. So, how would you respond to criticisms that say Backdrop is a bad idea like this? And then there's a link to a blog post written by John Locke on freelock.com. And I'm just, you know, it is a whole blog post, but I'm going to pull out sort of the end, sort of his summary of his critique, which is, quote, as I see it, Backdrop is about preserving the bad parts of Drupal for people who don't want to learn actual programming skills. Users and administrators are never going to notice the difference. Sounds like they're bringing Twig over, so themers won't know the difference either. They're preserving the archaic architecture that makes Drupal so hard to learn for developers, and deployment nightmares for DevOps, and the resource-intensive loader to keep bogging down performance for everyone. Great plan. Good luck with that.
So for starters, we should say that Backdrop might not be for everyone, right? There are a bunch of people who are going to prefer Drupal 8, and that's why we have options in the world, right? People who want Drupal 8 can have Drupal 8. People who don't want Drupal 8 can have Backdrop. But it also sounds like this article in particular might have the wrong idea about what it is we're trying to do. But Nate, do you want to address that?
Well, I think some things we're not, quote, preserving, you know, like a bloated, slow system, for example. Like, it's hard for me not to say this, but Drupal 8 is bigger and slower than Drupal 7. There's just more of it. And what we're hoping to do is not actually keep the big and bloated part. What we're hoping to do is actually put it on diet. We're going to be actively removing a bunch of stuff, as we have already. So far, that's mostly modules, but also large abstract systems. We're also looking into, like, how can those things be simplified or removed at the benefit of performance. So we're definitely not aiming at preserving everything, because we actually need it to be simpler. But it sounds like, I read that article too, it sounds like this developer is coming from a standpoint that he was already an experienced developer when he was first introduced to Drupal, and that he was actually kind of repelled by Drupal initially in Drupal 7 land, or maybe earlier, I'm not sure which version he started with, because it wasn't object-oriented, because it was all procedural-based, because of its paradigms that it had, were very specific to Drupal. That doesn't mean that they're actually hard to learn. They're actually, the basic concepts of Drupal are really pretty simple. There's a hook system. It's based on a pattern naming convention, and that's pretty much all of Drupal's architecture is pattern-based function naming. So from like an architectural perspective, it's really simple, but it wasn't what he was familiar with, because he's was more used to highly structured object-oriented systems.
He's in which a case, higher tier of developer.
Yeah, he's probably going to love Drupal 8. And so that's great. I mean, it probably is exactly what needed to happen, that Drupal 8 will be able to appeal to a lot of developers who otherwise wouldn't have considered Drupal at all. At the same time, Backdrop, we feel like, will be able to appeal to developers who also wouldn't be drawn to Drupal 8, that they're going after audiences that they do have overlap, but fundamentally different segments of the market.
And also, like, there are some things that he just doesn't have right. We're probably not bringing Twig over. We're going to make improvements to the theme layer, but it won't be Twig. We're not preserving the deployment nightmares. We're going to try and integrate CMI just like Drupal 8 has, which should solve some of those issues. And we're improving the performance. We're taking Drupal 7 that was slow and making it faster, whereas Drupal 8 hasn't yet proven that they can do that. I know it's on their agenda to do it. But they still have, you know, they're still working on it. They're still trying to figure it out. Whereas we're working to decrease the performance, or increase the performance that Drupal 7 had in what we're doing. So I think like there's a lot of things that we're both teams are working on, where you can't just look at one and say this has it and that one doesn't. It's going to be, you know, both of them will have it. And then from a developer perspective, you just have to decide which one is right for you. Like me as an independent contractor, I need to be able to answer the phone at 2 a.m. and fix the problem if the site is down. And if there's so much code in Drupal 8 that I don't understand that I can't do that, I start to be a less valuable resource to my clients. But if we can get a slimmer, lighter weight product that I can manage in my sleep, that's much better for me. So my choice isn't going to be to go with Drupal 8, but that doesn't mean that, you know, people who understand the way Drupal 8 works or people who like that system better are definitely going to be drawn to it. And we think that Drupal 8 will be successful. We just think there also needs to be an alternative for the people who are currently leaving, because there isn't one yet.
Nicely summed up. I have one last question and we'll wrap this thing up. You guys are going to DrupalCon in Prague, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Is there going to be a fist fight?
I hope not.
I'm not really sure if my normal strategy is going to work, but we're going to try to hug it out.
Right on. Well, I'll be there for the hugging, that's for sure. I'm, obviously I'm everybody, I think, is still assessing and watching and very curious of what's going on with this. But I feel like I have a much better handle on what your goals and reason and purpose are. And I think, and I hope that, that people listening at least have a better grasp there in terms of evaluating what's going on and why. And I hope that there's not a lot of hate. You know, this is all open source and this is all everybody trying to scratch their own itch. And we need to keep that in mind as well.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a lot of ways that, that the two projects can benefit each other. I mean, just the huge amount of work that's already happening in Drupal 8 since we announced Backdrop is great. And I think that there's going to be a bunch of ideas that are going to come up in both projects that can continue to be shared with both projects. So hopefully, you know, we can try and sell people on some of the good that can come out of this and kind of decrease the emphasis on all of the drama that it's stirring up.
Right on. Well, thank you both for coming on. I know it was kind of short notice, and you guys are getting ready to fly soon, so we had to kind of slide this in. But I appreciate you coming on because I'm sure everybody wants to talk to you, and I'm sure you guys are going to be saying a lot of the same things you've just said on this podcast over the next weeks and perhaps months. But yeah, thanks a lot, and I'm going to see you guys in Prague in a couple days. I get there Saturday afternoon.
Nice.
All right. Well, thanks for so much for having us and giving us an opportunity to express ourselves verbally.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.